You are now online with Andrea, with your host, Andrea Garrison.
Welcome. You are now online with Andrea. I am your host, Andrea Garrison. I'd like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. Our topic today is the choreographic release by dancer, singer, songwriter, musician, artist, Rachel Sage. Welcome, Rachel. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
You are absolutely amazing. I was really touched when I read the fact that you were a dancer. And I was like, wow, you know, you're just an all-around talent. And you're self-taught, right? Multi-instrumentalist,
yes, right.
And a dancer. Tell us a bit about your journey in music and dance, including your first memory of music, as well as your first and most significant memory in dance.
Wow, my first memory in music. That's such a beautiful question, and no one has ever asked me that, but I distinctly remember sitting down at my parents' piano, which was conveniently in their living room, even though they are not musical people per se, but they were thoughtful enough to have a piano in case one of their kids took to it. And I remember sitting down at this beautiful white piano and my legs dangling and they couldn't reach the pedal. And I started playing a song with one hand and it was just a little melody. And I don't remember if it was original or if I had heard it somewhere. But my dad came in and he seemed very impressed, but he also said to me, and I think I was only 2.5 or 3, he said, "Honey, you got to get the other hand involved too. That's what Billy Joel would do." So those were his words of wisdom to me at the tender age of 2 or 3.
Isn't that amazing that you can remember that far back? And what a beautiful, beautiful memory that is.
You know, he had a sense of humor with me from the beginning about it, that maybe so I wouldn't get a big head.
Yeah.
You know, what to work on, what to you know, stick with and keep trying to improve at, and that approach to it all, you know, and to it being a craft.
And you know, it's interesting,
you know,
because
cold very quickly.
The fact that he mentioned that you had to get the other hand involved, you know, I could, as you were telling me the story, I could visualize you. I could see you there. And I was thinking, her father is teaching her balance, the importance.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, it's like you got to put your whole body into it, right?
That's right. And, you know, he loved musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, and he loved all that kind of music and from the 50s. And he loves rock and roll, so I think he had high hopes that I might go in that direction then. And, of course, I went more in the classical direction for a while at least, so... But, you know, they were my first fans, my parents. So I appreciated all that reinforcement.
Yeah. So,
but you asked me about my first memory in dance.
Right, yeah.
That's a little harder for me to remember, but I certainly remember being in a pre-ballet class where, you know, it wasn't very structured. I was around the same age. I mean, maybe the exact same age. And I remember going to a local dance school where I grew up, and they played a mixture of popular music and classical music and show tunes, and we were all just kind of dancing around and letting loose. But I remember there were a little sort of elements of ballet in terms of, you know, being told to point our feet and use our arms with that balletic port-a-bras. But then they also were playing, you know, music like Grease Lightning, and having us do jazz. So it was a bit of an eclectic mix.
Yeah, non-structured, like you said.
Yeah, that didn't last for long, the non-structured dance classes, but I enjoyed them while they lasted.
Now, do you think, as a young child, for someone who's listening, mm-hmm. who may have a 3 or 4 year old, is it important for them to just get into the feel and have that non-structured environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think any environment where you can truly discover what a child has a passion for is invaluable, and that's the point of it all, is really to discover what, you know, any individual young person naturally gravitates toward. And I tend to feel like most kids love to dance and sing and paint and draw and do all those things when they're little anyway, and it's sort of society and the pressures on us and the expectations that come along as we get older that tend to mute all of those natural impulses. But there certainly are kids who are born to do certain things, and I think any opportunity to be expressive and discover that in an organic and playful environment is ideal. But I'm not a parent, so I may never have that opportunity to fully put that theory to test.
But you know what they say, honey, you were a child, though, and a creative
That's
one.
That's true, I was a child. Yep.
Yeah.
And I have a little niece who's 8 years old, and, you know, she's getting into all this stuff now and discovering what she likes and what she doesn't, and, of course, it changes on a weekly basis. So I think it's just about exposure and giving kids opportunities to try different things.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like, you know, you've been there, so you've done it, so you know what it is and how that helped to develop you as an artist, the artist, and a multi-dimensional artist today. Now, you say that you started writing music after your mom put you in the pre-ballet class.
That's right.
So what was it about taking ballet that inspired you to write music, and what was it about dance that inspired you to create music, and just basically, how did they feed each other? The music feeding the dance, the dance feeding the mm-hmm. music.
You know, I think I was just always, you know, enraptured by the music that I heard in any dance class context. And from the beginning, you know, of course, I didn't know what composers I was listening to. I didn't know the names of the pieces. But I absolutely had, you know, an instinctive reverence for melody and for that structure that notes created out of, you know, empty space and out of silence, out of chaos, really, the way that it just organized emotion and, you know, whatever the vision was of the composer, and how we could all relate to that so many hundreds of years later was inherently magical to me. So I wanted in, you know, right away. And the older I got and the more that I understood also the place of some of that music within the historical time periods in which it was created, I started to see myself potentially as part of that tradition, you know, that I could be a composer, that I could write songs, and that could be a way to create community and gather people around a piano who might otherwise, you know, either ignore me or maybe even be mean to me, you know, just not pay attention or not take me seriously, that music was this common thread that everyone seemed to like, no matter, you know, whether they were popular or a dancer or an athlete or, you know, anything in between. That became pretty clear to me right away. As far as what music gave to my dance experience and that side of me from a young age, I think I probably just, you know, I daydreamed a lot in class, really, where I would be swept away by the music that I was hearing. And I think, you know, there were probably other handful of other students who might have done that too, and those were the students that the teachers would sometimes deem more musical, and they would praise our musicality. We were sort of feeling it in a different way, and it was bringing out a different type of expressiveness. But, you know, there was a sort of a double edge to that. Sometimes you might get so carried away with that you weren't hearing the correction the teacher was giving you or whatnot. You were just, you know, focusing on the accompanist, on the piano player, and what you were hearing. So those were, you know, challenging lessons to learn as I went along about focus, and that you couldn't necessarily absorb everything at once all the time.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So what makes music danceable, and can you dance without music?
Oh, well, you can certainly dance without music, especially if you hear music in your head. But, you know, there are many, many contemporary dance companies and schools of dance that create music with their bodies, and, you know, things like Stomp on Broadway sort of showed us all what was possible just with noise and percussion coming from the human body and objects and the like. But, you know, where I really live personally and where I've been the most inspired is, you know, with this particular album, if that's what you're kind of leading to, is just this idea of visualizing choreography in my mind while I was composing, which was a lot easier for me to do than I anticipated because I do have all that dance background. And I did dabble in choreography as a teenager. I choreographed many dances for my high school and dance teams and, you know, just on myself for pieces that I would present at talent shows and things like that. So it's all kind of been in there latent. And, you know, I just use my imagination. I think we're all a lot more capable than we may imagine until we sit down to do these things outright.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking the show Dancing with the Stars, the final winner was deaf. And he danced to the Simon Garfunkel song "Sound of Silence," and so kind of
that is an incredible song, isn't it?
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, because I love dance and I love music, and it just kind of actually I don't know, it made me think deeper about dance. And that it just kind of, it just goes beyond the physical, if you know what I mean. The physicality of music or the...
Absolutely.
It was a very special
everyone
thing
is always reaching for something that sort of transcends our everyday experience and where we can sort of feel our most soulful. And whether it's by doing it or by observing it and supporting it, I think that's kind of at the heart of what most artistry is all about.
Yeah. And then, of course, you're also a painter, graphic artist. Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yes.
And
how
does music help you with that or with your painting?
You know, I think it's really more the other way around. I tend to be inspired musically by visual art, and I am one of those people who, when I see paintings or I go to a museum, it really fills me up in a way that makes me want to sit at the piano and play and write. But when I'm creating art, I actually like to do that with no music playing and in silence, and I can hear my own thoughts. And I would say that it's kind of the opposite for me in terms of the type of meditation that it is and how it calms me down, and I think it probably gives me what things like yoga may give to other people. You know, I start with an empty canvas and I just sort of follow the, you know, whatever happens, and I don't have a preconceived vision, generally speaking, when I'm creating art. Sometimes, but, you know, for the most part, I paint abstractly and then I'm always surprised by the end result, which is a very different type of process
Yeah, that's interesting.
Abstracting a song.
Abstract. So we go back to the non-structure, you know, which is...
That's right.
Very...
I actually had a psychic tell me once that if I'm ever really kind of stressed out or depressed or, you know, whatever it may be, I'm just sort of blocked, that what that is a signal that I need to sit down and make some stuff. Paint, draw, you know, decorate some clothes. And, you know, I'm not one for psychics generally, but I have to say she was pretty on point with that. And it's never not made me feel better to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's, and I was listening to, as you were talking about the frame of mind or your spirit when you get into the painting. And it sounds like you get into a very special, sacred place when you do that.
It does feel that way. It really does. And I also think about sometimes, you know, how I'll share it. And I enjoy having the excuse to create art for other people as gifts or to create something that's holiday themed, you know, around a certain holiday or a social political event. It's definitely just another language and another way to communicate what I can't in other ways.
Yeah. So are you born to sing and create music, or is it something that is innate, deep inside of you, just waiting to come out when you are born? Or can you be born with no musical talent and just take a class and learn it and become it?
I may not be the best person to answer that because I am self-taught and I've tried to take classes to go beyond my own, you know, existing knowledge and insight, technically speaking, and in terms of, you know, notation and things like that. And I have been a poor student, poor music student. I was actually told by my grade school, you know, my parents were told that they were wasting their time trying to get me piano lessons because I played by ear so easily that it was very difficult for me to discipline myself to read the notes on the page by that point. So, you know, I don't know what would have made the difference with me if I had found a different type of teacher. I've been told there are teachers who encourage ear training in a different way than maybe I had it, that, you know, where I would have ended up somehow being able to read music as well. But I'm kind of a failed music student, which is why I have leaned so much on instinct and, you know, being self-taught. I had to create my own way of doing things, and it came very naturally to me and fell well outside of traditional education. But I mean, I admire and I'm very, very respectful of people who spend years in conservatory learning music in the way that perhaps I went about learning ballet. So it's easy for me to imagine.
But you know, it's
people
interesting.
Can start from scratch, but
yeah, when I listen to you, it's like you sound well trained to me.
Well, you know, I really do credit the dance because I heard so much classical music every single day for up to 8 hours sometimes. And you're hearing the very best, you know, most just richest tradition of melody and the complexity of that music and the orchestrations were incredible. So, you know, I kind of combined that with the pop and folk music that I loved along the way just as a young person and kind of came out with my own fusion of it all. But yeah, no, I did study voice to just make sure that I wasn't going to hurt myself and I knew how to warm up and warm down properly, which is important if you're going to be a touring artist. You know, and I can generally like name the chords that I'm playing now just from years of absorbing the musicianship of many fine players around me in my midst. So there's certain things I kind of caught on to, but yeah, I'm not really a traditional example.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say in answer to your question, I think there probably every way you can imagine that someone could develop their musicianship is possible.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I can say is it's working and you're working. So now you've been you've shared the stage with many legendary performers. If you don't mind, please tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, I really have been so fortunate. I've played at a lot of festivals, which is where I had my first exposure to opening for major artists. I remember I did a big tour with Eric Burdon and the Animals all over Europe, and that was the first tour where I was on a bus, and it was very exciting. But, you know, the most inspiring thing is just to see someone who's such a legend like that, who still loves what they're doing and continues to have that, you know, authentic passion for it. And then after him, I had the chance to support artists like Indigo Girls playing Pride festivals and just so many artists, Mark Cohn, Judy Collins, Ani DeFranco. I've had some adventures and ample opportunities to watch and learn from many, many great artists. So.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So tell us about your choreographic release.
Yes, of course.
You know, the development of it and it's a tribute to your first love, right? Dance?
Yes. Well, as we've sort of been chatting, you know, dance really informed, you know, my entire desire to become friends with the piano and to write music. So, you know, basically what happened was that the last few years, this television show called Dance Moms, this reality show, started using many of my songs. They have now used 16 or 17 and used some of them multiple times. And it was the kind of thing where after the seventh, eighth, ninth, you know, placement, I had to really kind of pay attention and figure out what is it in my music that is attracting them to having these young dancers perform routine after routine. And generally speaking, they were winning with these routines. So there was something very conducive to lyrical dance specifically in my existing repertoire. And I was able to determine that this group, the Abby Lee Dance Company, had actually been using my songs for many years, well before they had a TV show. And then there were many other schools all over the country I found on YouTube, hundreds of them, who had been also mining my repertoire for their dance competitions. And it was just wildly flattering and you know, amazing to me that this whole other discipline, you know, this area where I had been so far removed from it for so many years, there was this echo, you know, of my past in that as well, because, of course, these young girls reminded me of my own dance past and my experiences at the School of American Ballet. So taking all of that in the last year or so, I decided, you know, it would be a real just adventure to try to recapture that original idealism and inspiration that I felt as a young dancer and put that into the context of an album.
Beautiful. So we've teased the audience enough. So mm-hmm. I think we'll play your music. We'll play Heaven and then Lorena. If you can just share with us your reflections on these two tracks.
Yes. Well, Heaven is a song that I wrote about a visual artist who is a homeless man in San Francisco whose art just was so compelling to me, and I wrote the song about a painting entitled Heaven is a Grocery Clerk. And then Lorena is a song that I wrote in a dream, actually, about a very specific character who I'd never met in real life, and I chose the name Lorena for her because Lorena McKennitt, the Celtic artist, has been such a huge inspiration to me, and I was looking for a lovely lilting name that would fit in the music, and hers fit perfectly.
Beautiful. Well, here it is, Heaven and Lorena. We'll be right back.
dream about. Oh, give me, give me something to dance about, something to laugh about. Oh, set me free. Ever drifting psychedelic kite. I have waited all my days. Let go of the feeling I might never find my place. So give me something to dream about, something to dream about. Oh, give me, give me something to dance about. stranger to allure. And in the time of kings and queens, you'd have been legendary. Would I've redefined a mule? And all you think that I have crossed you, 'cause I have dared to cast a light. But I'm not scared of being someone who reminds you of who you were before all of this spite. Lorena, I don't wanna lose you. I think that I've accused you, but I've loved you in my time. Lorena, I would always choose you. I think that I've misused you, I'm committed as a crime. But I've loved you in my time. Lorena, I would always choose you. You think that I've misused you, I'm committed. I'm committed as a crime.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Very, very nice. The next two tracks are Try, Try, Try and Home.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. Well, Try, Try, Try is definitely the most up-tempo, sort of pop-driven song on the record, and it's loosely inspired by the music of Buddy Holly, actually. I've always wanted to write a song that made you want to do the twist and just have that upbeat kind of just makes you smile kind of groove. And so when I hear that song, when I started playing that beat on the guitar, I definitely visualized a room full of people at a sock hop or something like that, you know, doing the twist and just, you know, bringing everybody together.
Yeah.
And the next song after that, you have to remind me, I'm not looking at my own album.
That's okay. Is Home.
That's right, yes. Home is the very first song that I co-wrote. And I wrote it with a very young girl, a teenager who was from Ireland, from Dublin, Ireland. And she just kind of showed up in New York and said she liked my music and would love to write a song together. And it was just wonderful to work with her. She played guitar very similarly to me, and she had similar influences. And her passion for New York City definitely mirrored my love of the city of Dublin. So that's where we came together and wrote this song about the mystery and beauty of a big city as an artist.
Great. So here it is. Try, 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 and Home.
Pages like a pirouette. It made me feel arms around me like a blanket. Spun a web around me like a spell. You flung an anchor through my ship and sank. Words in the way, nothing can say, kisses can steal. I wanna be where you can't see. Words in the way, nothing can say, kisses can steal. I know you're afraid of grieving, and I'll give you my open heart. You'll own keys to every room inside my haunted house of magic in the dark, dark, dark. My haunted house of magic in the dark, dark, dark. I know you're afraid of grieving. City, everything about it feels like home. I love this city. I don't long for anyone to know anything about me or the places I call home. When I look above at all the skyscrapers at night, I think about stranger has a dream they keep inside. I wonder which one of them could be me. Home's where you're taken in, fiercely breathing with the wind. Home's where you set your spirit down. I'm at home in all this beauty, everything about. Where I am now, where I am now. Woke up this morning, inspired by Manhattan's yawning city sidewalks and the buskers circling Union Square. Woke up this morning, Lady Liberty was calling me to lose my inhibitions, let loose my tangled hair. When I look above at all skyscrapers at night, I think about the girl I wanna be. I know that every stranger has a dream they keep in sight. I wonder which one of them. Home is where you're taken in, fiercely breathing with let your spirit down. I'm at home in all this beauty. Everything about it moves me. Maybe from another place, but home's where I am now. Where I am now. All I ever hoped for was the chance to listen and to be well listened to. Some people may long to be rescued in romance, but love is an adventure, and I wanna spend it being close to you. Home's where you're taking in, fearlessly breathing with the wind. Home's where you set your spirit.
Very nice. Home is where I am now. Yeah, I love the lyrics.
My little spin on the be here now kind of a philosophy.
Yeah, great lyrics. And then the other one is my honey, does some magic in the dark or something like that. That was great. I love that. And it's very danceable, you know.
My haunted house of magic in the dark. That's what I'm saying. But I know it's you know, it's a phrase you don't hear often, so.
But I loved it, though. I was dancing,
thank
honey.
You.
Let me tell you. You couldn't see me, but...
Oh, I love that.
I don't think I was twisting, though, but I had my thing going.
Well, that's tough, you know. If you don't do it often, twisting can just give you a cramp, so I don't encourage that. You gotta ease into it.
Yeah, I was just doing my own little thing, you know, bouncing around a little bit there. I said, yeah, it is danceable. She's right. You know, it was kind of a natural feel. It's funny how when you listen to certain tunes, you just naturally move to it. It's like you can't control yourself. You can't sit still, you know.
Excellent.
Now, the next two tracks, I Don't Believe It and French Doors.
That's right, yes. I Don't Believe It is the song that I made my first video for, featuring a beautiful young dancer named Casey King. And she's only 11, and I was just thrilled to be able to cast her. And she did most of the work in the video. I'm just playing piano, but she's, you know, busting her, you know, chops, just dancing all over the place. And really, the point of that song is just it's to serve as kind of an anthem of defiance and resilience for anyone who's trying to pursue a dream and has people around them who are trying to tell them they can't do it, trying to dissuade them for whatever strange and you know, misguided reasons. But we all encounter those people.
Yeah, and the next one, French Doors.
Yes. You know, French Doors was loosely inspired by my affection for Carole King and the Brill Building music that came out of that era. I went to see the Broadway musical Beautiful, and, you know, there was just something so incredibly moving about, you know, reliving that story of her as a young person, just going after her dreams as a songwriter and also collaborating with her husband and musical partner, Jerry Goffin. And the highs and lows of all of that. So this song, French Doors, is kind of my take on that bittersweet looking back and, you know, recognizing what someone gave you and how they opened you up in a way you weren't before, even if you aren't a couple anymore.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I Don't Believe It and French Doors.
What I needed
friends' doors and my own fearfulness. You taught me how to let go. You taught me how to deconstruct my emptiness. You taught me how to speak up. You taught me how to embrace my impatience well. You taught me how wake up and never take for granted sights and door smell. When I needed to open the French doors of my own fearfulness, you taught me how to let go.
Beautiful. Great musicians.
Yes, that trumpet player, Russ Johnson, is just world class. And he used to live in New York and be in my band, and now he's out in the Midwest, and I just grab him whenever I can to play on the records. He's really amazing.
Yeah, just wonderful. So tell us, what are your plans for the future? What kind of projects are you working on?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm actually gearing up to release the record in the UK and Europe, which is sort of a whole other part two to this campaign. And And so what that means is I'll be touring over there, and I'll also be visiting a lot of art schools and dance schools along the tour to encourage those students and do some collaborations as well with the dancers performing to my music, which will be exciting. And, you know, beyond that, I also have an art show scheduled in New York City in September. So part of the summer, I'll be using my downtime to make some new paintings. And this weekend, actually, I'll be recording a brand new song that is, you know, dedicated to and in tribute to those who were lost in Orlando and all of the, you know, community there that was impacted by the shooting. So, you know, that's something that I'm focusing on now, and it'll be tough, but it'll also be, you know, cathartic to do that in the studio.
Yeah, that just, the thought of it just breaks my heart, you know. I was really very, very upset about that. And so that's wonderful that you're going to do a tribute.
Yeah,
I'm sure that it'll be a beautiful tribute.
Oh, thank you. You know, and we're looking for the right, you know, partner now in terms of an LGBT organization in Orlando. And you know, we just want to try to do some good and give back and do what we can. So that's pretty much what's on my plate right now. It seems like a lot to me.
It is a lot.
I'm tired already just telling you about it.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing that song. And to anyone who's listening, because I do get listeners from around the globe, that hopefully they will look for you wherever you're performing and check you out live, because you're special. Just listening to the recording and listening to what you have to say. So it would be fabulous for anyone who's listening to catch the live performance, because these days live performance is so special. Now, if you would, I know you have to go, so if you can just share with us a little bit about the remaining tracks, which I'm going to play.
Oh, you got it.
That would be Clear Today, I've Been Waiting. Learn.
I've got the album in front of me now.
Oh,
so good.
Learn to Let You Go. Well, you
I had a long break while the music was playing. So, So I'll talk down the rest of the album for you. No problem. Clear Today is, you know, I think it's probably the most theatrical song on the record. And people have told me that it seems to be sort of a story song of realizing that moment when, you know, a relationship needs to end, but you still love that person. So it's that kind of Sturm und Drang a little bit, but it is very fast moving and a little frenetic, I suppose, with lush orchestral instrumentation. I've Been Waiting. The next track is, I think it's kind of my sort of Edie Brickell in the New Bohemians kind of meets the Doors moody track on the record, and I played electric guitar on it, and it's very romantic. It's really about having an expectation of the kind of person who's going to sweep you off your feet, and then someone completely the opposite of that comes along and rocks your world, and there's just nothing you can do about it. So, Learn to Let You Go is actually a cover song by a wonderful songwriter peer of mine named J.P. Ho. And he's Canadian and just writes song after song that impresses me and reminds me of sort of a neo-Beatles kind of a feel. And, you know, I think that song is really about feeling isolated and looking for your place where you fit in. And, you know, for better or worse, whether you find the right bunch of folks to fit in with or you find people who may, you know, be a questionable influence. He told me the song was about someone getting caught up in a cult, and I just thought it was about someone, you know, who was a seeker trying to figure out where they fit in. So that's what I was thinking about it when I sang it. Five Alarms is just an unabashedly romantic, you know, just I think it's just a very expansive, open song about relishing a lover and someone who is finally there, who's just completely on the same page with you, and it's there's no trick question. It's just a very direct kind of sensual song. Seven Angels is a little bit more reflective. It's a song that I wrote about a very tragic fire that took place in Brooklyn last year that claimed the lives of seven children in one family, and it really brought New Yorkers all together. We just couldn't believe this had happened and how one family could endure that. And the father is a rabbi and continues to be a spiritual leader in his community, and it's just humbling and staggering, you know, the strength of the human spirit.
Wow.
And then it would be enough. I know I got to move quickly past that because I get too verklempt, I get too sad. But it did feel like a story that was worth just, you know, thinking about and how precious life is. And It Would Be Enough kind of carries that theme, but in a much more positive, a way that honors the people who have given us so much as entertainers, timeless kind of once a century type of performers who we've lost recently, like B.B. King and David Bowie and Prince. And, you know, that if they had only written this or that song or played one instrument well or sung beautifully, you know, it would be enough. But they did so many things so beautifully and gave so much to so many people. It's almost immeasurable, and that's what that song is about. And then there's a reprise of Home acoustically at the very end of the record, along with a cover of one of my very favorite Carole King songs, So Far Away.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, I was thinking about that term you mentioned, lush orchestral. I like that. And that's...
Oh, good.
And I get that feel from your music. It has a very lush orchestral sound to it. So I think that's great. Do you have anything to share that we haven't covered? And do you have any closing reflections before we continue on with your beautiful music? Your beautiful, lush orchestral.
Thank you. I'm really grateful and I appreciate this space that you've given me to share my work, and I hope that it uplifts people and it also inspires people to remember, you know, just the many, many dynamics and colors and expressive qualities that we all have, and to not let anyone telling us no or we can't, you know, be the resounding mantra in our minds that we just need to surround ourselves with positivity and love and people who support, you know, who we really are as individuals. So that's my last word.
Well, that's beautiful. Well, you know, the music speaks for itself as well, but it was nice to be able to listen to the music and then listen to your beautiful voice speaking about the music that you create.
Oh, thank you.
And so I do appreciate you.
Well, I never say the same thing twice, so you certainly got me at my most spontaneous.
Well, that's a good thing, you know. Well, you carry on with those orchestral sounds there.
Thank you. And you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening.
Thank you so much. And we're going to continue on with your music now. And people should go to your website, right, to find out you'll be performing. And that's rachelsage.com.
That's right. Yes. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I try to be as accessible and friendly as I can.
Great.
And hopefully I'll see y'all out on the road.
Great. And we're looking forward to your next release as well. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Thank you.
Take care.
Clear today, I'm gonna leave you. Even though I love you, it's just not enough. What's there to say? I'm waiting for disaster now. When you come home, it's gonna come down. What am I gonna say? After loving you all these years, what am I? his tears. His love is never over, I know it's not the same. Looking in the mirror, I have never felt such pain.
My happiness.
nobody ever asks for my time. No champagne moments, no love to fly to, no heat to warm the family time.
Seven little angels singing, symphony.
shalom. Souls of ancestors unhinged with rage. I'm a listening ear, but these are just too many names. Seven little angels caught in fate's cruel cage. Veil the meaning of all I've ever known. Veil the future. Every seed I've sown, sail me somewhere. No butterflies flown. Seven little angels singing. Seven little angels singing. Sim shalom. My children only steps away. I'm a daughter dreaming peacefully of games to play. I'm a candle in the window flickering with love. I'm an endless well of grief too deep to rise above. Veil the meaning of all I've ever known. Veil the future of every seed I've sown. Sail me somewhere. No butterflies flown. Seven little angels singing. Seven little angels singing. Seven little angels. Seven little angels singing. Seven little angels singing. Seven little angels. Sim shalom. Tova uracha. Chaim v'chesed. Seven little secrets life will never tell. Aleinu, I'll call everyone. Seven little pairs of shoes that could not run. It would be enough if you sang like an angel. If you sang like an angel every time. Oh, oh. It would be enough if you sang like an angel. If you sang like you'd been through hell. It would be enough. If you played like a genius, if you played like a genius every night, oh, oh, it would be enough. If you played like a genius, you played it like you mean it. How can just one person do so many things well? ring out with such honesty, like a Sistine bell. How can just one person do so many things right? We were lost, we were cold, in the middle of the night, you come.
Song about moving along the highway. Can't
You're so far away. Yeah, yeah, you're so far away. So far away. So far away. So
beautiful. So far away. You have been listening to tracks from the new choreographic release by Rachel Sage. I would like to thank our guest, dancer, singer, songwriter, musician, artist, Rachel Sage, for being here to discuss her choreographic release. For more information, visit rachelsage.com. I would like to encourage all of our listeners to practice the universal law of giving by doing whatever you can to reach out to help others. To each and every one of you out there, thank you so much for joining me, Andrea Garrison, and connecting here online with Andrea. Listen to me live or listen to the archive. Just continue connecting heart to heart. But in the meantime, do whatever you can to reach out to help others and never underestimate the power of a friendly smile. Take care.
This city, strange, beautiful city, everything about it feels like home. I love this city, I don't long for anyone to know anything about me or the places I call home. When I look above at all the skyscrapers at night, think about the girl I wanna be. I know that every stranger has a dream they keep inside. I wonder which one of them could be me. Home's where you take it in, fearlessly breathing with the wind. Home's where you set your spirit. Everything about it moves me, and maybe from another place, but home's where I am now. Where I am now. I woke up this morning, inspired by Manhattan's yawning city sidewalks and the buskers circling Union Square. I woke up this morning Lady Liberty was calling me to lose my inhibitions, let loose my tangled hair. When I look above it all, skyscrapers at night, I think about the girl I wanna be. I know that every stranger has a dream they keep inside. I wonder which one of them could be me. Home's where you're taken in, fiercely breathing with the wind. Home's where you set your spirit down. I'm at home in all this beauty. Everything about it moves me. Maybe from another place, but home's where I am now.
Thank you for connecting to Online with Andrea with your host, Andrea Garrison.